Good morning. It's Della from The Beauty of Play. We're in a decent rhythm right now because it's fall and we're working through our geometry block during this recording. And so I wanted to share with you what a day in the life looks like for us and the week as well. I am currently homeschooling a teen, and if you know anything about homeschooling a teen, you know that their circadian rhythms change, and we homeschool based on everybody's season. So we don't even start our homeschooling till late morning. That means I have time in the early morning to take a few minutes for myself. Before, I was quick to pick up my phone and start work or go through emails and social media, but lately I have been taking a few minutes to myself, some quiet times, to set the tone of the day for myself, similar to how I do in opening activities to set the tone and make connection for my daughter at the beginning of our homeschool. This also gives me a couple hours in the morning to get some personal work done for myself before we start homeschooling. Before we homeschool, I usually go up a few minutes ahead of time and look over what the plans are for today. This helps me just get the right mindset and make any preparations before we start our homeschooling day. The preparation that I need ahead of time is different depending on the block that we're doing. For history blocks, these are a little easier for me. There's a lot of reading. The activities that we do for a history block are things like analysis, sourcing, critical thinking skills, and map work. And those are easier for me to get together. A lot of them are conversations. Some of them, like change and continuity over time, are graphs that are already formed. I already know how to do this pretty easily. And so the prep work for that isn't too extensive. My science blocks, on the other hand, we're doing loads of experiments and demonstrations, and those take quite a bit of prep work. For the geometry block that we're doing at the time of this recording, it's a mix. Most of this I have done before with my son, and I really enjoy math, and most of it, or a lot of it, is review, and so it has been somewhat easy. But we're also doing the folding the circle for our geometry that's new to me, so it takes a few minutes of prep time. A few minutes later, my daughter comes up the stairs and joins me for our homeschooling. Our first activity for the morning is usually opening activities. You have heard me talk about these opening activities before, particularly in the blog post Ritual of Connections. Because these activities are meant for connection and collaboration, for relationship. And that's where the focus lies, not on education. These are short exercises meant to set the tone for the day. Because of this, they may not be educational in nature. They are about the relationship and the connection. And even if they are educational, they may not be on grade level. Because they're relationship focused, you may not always do them. We have seasons where we don't do opening activities because my daughter comes up and doesn't want to do them and wants to get straight to work. And then we have other seasons where she definitely wants to do an opening activity. Especially at this point where we're working into our first year of high school or eighth grade, depending on how it all lays out. There's a good deal of autonomy, and so I allow her to choose whether or not we do opening activities. Also may do a few short, simple, quick things at the beginning of our homeschooling if I'm working on a specific thing. For instance, right now, we're working on SAT vocabulary words, and so we're doing a few of these words from Word Teaser every morning. It is short, consistent memory recall, so it's helping us with the memory of those words. Every once in a while, we will take the group of words that we've been working on and make sentences with those words, as silly and as absurd as we can make them. Going by a public school timeline, for her homeschooling, this would be considered a ninth grade year. Essentially, we will be either choosing it as an eighth grade or a ninth grade year, depending on how dual enrollment plays out. In the state of Florida, currently the rules for dual enrollment are that you can continue to attend until 19 and a half years, which we did with my son and graduated him late to maximize the amount of time for dual enrollment and also to adjust his scheduling so he wasn't having to take such large loads when he was at the university, which has worked out really well for us. The rules for dual enrollment change all the time, but that is the plan for this as well. One of the things that I learned from homeschooling my son through high school is that high school things change quickly. You can shift directions. There weren't huge shifts of directions, but they were enough that we had to revise our plans and change them. So I'm keeping flexible here because I know it's coming. At this age, the vast majority of her work is independent work. We meet for an hour and a half in the morning, and then we meet for about an hour in the afternoon. During the morning sessions, usually, we go over the lesson that we did the day before, and then we go over her independent work. And this usually goes in the order that she chooses. What we're seeing now on the screen is her independent work. She's decided to go over that first thing before we review the prior day's lesson. Now, her independent work is pretty extensive. She has 5 or 6 different things that she's doing on her own, and these include math practice, usually, or some kind of math, language arts, which either includes grammar, sentence analysis, vocabulary, those kind of things, which we are using Michael Clay Thompson and a vocabulary workbook, and then also some writing workbooks. I also do my own writing assignments, and then I also do paragraph analysis with her, or analysis of various things, because at this age, you want to start analyzing other people's work. Ideally, you've been doing that for a while through copy work and paragraph analysis, but we really want to dissect various different kinds of those activities now at this age. She's also doing driver's ed, which we're going over here. This is the driver's ed handbook. And she's practicing art. And I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but we've just now been practicing art as part of our daily work. I say embarrassed because I know of mathematical mindset and growth mindset. And the more that we do something, the better we are at it and practice. And I feel like I should have been doing more of this earlier, but we're doing it now. We're practicing whatever the art is, that the techniques that we're learning in our art classes, we are practicing those throughout the week. She also has an American Sign Language class that she's taking online, and she practices that daily as well. The last bit of her independent work is her reading assignments. She reads the chapter or chapters that I assign, and then the following day sits down and summarizes verbally the chapter for me and the things that she went through. If it's something that I want her to retain more readily, then I have her also write in addition to that. So we will space out and do as much memory recall as we can on the reading. Quickly, that might look like reading on day one. Day two would be verbally discussion and going over the reading material. Day three would be writing about that material. And day four would be reviewing the writing to see if there's anything missed and filling in the gaps. For our current reading, this is the second book in Joy Hakim's series, The Story of Science. I think this one is Newton in the Middle. I just want exposure and reading. A lot of the concepts are concepts that we have either gone through in math or are currently going through, or they're astronomy or physics concepts.
Oh, that's interesting.
This is a couple times.
This is in Galileo's time.
Yeah, I think his name Tycho saw a star. He thought it was a new star. A couple other people saw the star and thought it was a new star.
Cool.
Usually the morning is reserved for the review of the previous day's material. So we're going over what we learned in the previous day and usually putting those in our main lesson books.
To do a main lesson page on polygons in general and put that into our notebook and the observations that we made of the cube yesterday in our folding the circle work.
Before anything makes it onto the main lesson page, there is lots of discussion that happens. First, we talk about the material or the lesson that we did before. She tells me as much as she can remember about the lesson the day before. This is using active recall or memory recall. It's a great learning tool, and this is what I use for the maximum amount of retention of the material. This and spacing is probably the two largest tools that I use for our learning. After she tells me as much as she can about the material previous, I fill in the gaps for her, the places where she lost or couldn't remember from the previous information that I think is important. We're also constantly having conversations in the main lesson page about spacing and lettering, color theory, those kind of things, which I've done other posts on about how I use illustration and narration in our homeschooling.
Do you remember?
12
edges and how many vertices? 8 vertices. And what's its dual? What fits in the center of this or transforms? It's the octahedron that is the dual for this one. If you can imagine it, remember that the vertices fit at the center of each of the faces of it. And if you look in our notebook, distillated octahedron fits in it, but its dual is the octahedron. You see how the vertices fit into the midpoints? And it can
many times after the review, a main lesson page is started, and here we are starting the main lesson page that goes over the material, the review, and the drawings of the work that we did previously. Depending on what we are studying, this gets stretched out into several days, or in this case, it's all in one day. particularly if it's review material that we've done before, it goes a lot faster. And sometimes the lesson is just putting the review material into our main lesson pages. The opposite end of that spectrum, sometimes, particularly for science, the main lesson page can take days. So we are doing the lesson on day one. On day two, we're spending our morning recapping the lesson from the day before. On day three, we are doing our illustrations for that particular lesson in our notebooks. And on day five, we're again reviewing the material using the illustration that supports our narration. And on day five, we are reviewing the narration to make sure that the concept is understood and we're not missing any points in that. This is overlapping, so each one of those things is happening for some concept every day. History for us falls somewhere in between those two. A lot of our history in the beginning is consumption of material. And narration and illustration is to remember the material that we are conceptualizing. So they're almost like summaries and illustrations to go along with those. The illustrations are not used as much to support the retention, with exception to a few activities that are analytical in nature, like timelines, change in continuity over time, sourcing or map work. And then we may be using those illustrations, some of which are more like graphs, to support our work. I also tend to practice a lot of academic writing, so we will use analytical tools like change in continuity and time, or contextualization, or sourcing analysis, or cause and effect analysis, and then use those to write an essay. And this concludes the morning for us. This usually happens between 11 and 12 or 12:30, but it really depends on what's going on. We just keep tabs with each other and let each other know if we're going to need more time or less to start our school. We then take a pretty extensive break. We don't start school again till around 3 o'clock. Again, that's an estimate. Most of the time it's probably later than that. Occasionally it's earlier if we have something in the afternoon that we have planned that we want to make sure we give ourselves enough time, but we usually don't start school again until about 3 o'clock. And usually, everybody is responsible for their own lunch at this point. I mean, I have teens that are perfectly capable of making their own lunch. In the past, I would have made everyone else lunch, but today, I have somebody making my lunch. I just have to pause here and say, I had help with this footage. I came downstairs and she was filming herself making our lunch, which I think is fabulous, but I had so much material to edit through. And really the lunch scene is only 2 or 3 minutes. But the wonderful thing about this age is this kind of help. And then also all the things that you have done for them for years, they start doing for you. Coming back to daily independent work, she has complete autonomy over when she decides and how she decides to do this work. I really feel like this age group in particular, like late middle school up to early high school and on, is really good time to start practicing time management. And so not only does she get to choose how and when she does this work, we're also having conversations as she goes along about her time management. Mostly these are conversations about awareness of what we're doing and when we're doing it, and leaving ourselves enough time for the other activities that she wants to do. I also keep a gauge relatively of how much time she is spending on independent work, because I truly believe in a work-life balance. My gauge at this level is that we need to be spending roughly 4 to 5 hours of school each day. starting back to school at about 3 p.m., we then focus on the main lesson for the day. This is the main material that we're learning. In this particular lesson, we're reviewing the pentagon and the pentagram and the golden ratio, phi, and how those are all related, including the Fibonacci sequence. Because this is review material for us, this is going straight into our main lesson pages.
Okay, then we're going to open our compasses just a little bit so we can draw a line perpendicular to this. Okay, now we need to find the midpoint of one of the sides, one of the bisectors, either here or here. It doesn't really matter which one. There are a couple different ways to draw the pentagon, and that's going to give us the midpoint here to that center. Now that we have that, we're going to set our compass between that midpoint and the center, which should also be the midpoint and the edge of the circle.
When I say review for us, I mean review from last year. This is new material as far as our lesson for G8 geometry this year. So we are taking that main lesson and placing it into our notebooks. For completely new material that we have never gone over, that doesn't go into our notebooks for 3 or 4 days. If we are reviewing material from the previous year, particularly for math, sometimes for other things, that goes into the notebook on the same day that we are reviewing the material.
Points of our compass settings. We're going to put our compass here and draw an arc here, and then put our compass here and draw an arc at the top.
After we spend the second session together with our main lesson in whatever form that takes, that pretty much ends our school day for the day. But I want to talk a little bit about our weekly schedule and more about our seasonal schedule. We school roughly about 4 days a week, and that used to be pretty consistent with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a break on Thursday, and schooling on Friday. Over the years, that has shifted. We now schedule full days, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, in the schedule that you saw here. Wednesday, my daughter volunteers around 3 to 4 hours at our local wildlife rehabilitation center. That takes up our Wednesday mornings. And then on Thursday afternoons, we go to a local park to meet up with other homeschoolers. And that's like our designated social time. We may have other social times, but that's our designated social times. That leaves me with Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning for school. I use these in a couple of different ways depending on the season and on the block and what I need them for. Sometimes they're used as catch up for the things that we aren't able to get to on our Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. And sometimes they are used for art if I'm having difficulty getting art or a particular concept in math. We may spend those days just doing art and math. I've also been assigning our daily work, our independent work, as a day between those 2 days. So she has plenty of time to get it done. So I will assign it usually on a Wednesday, the Wednesday afternoon. And that way she has until Friday at 11 when we meet again to do the independent work. It doesn't always work the way that I want it to, but on Friday I try to make it as easier day for us. That's really hard to plan, but I usually end up moving a few things around in our planning as we go anyway, and I try to make Fridays a little lighter because both of us are pretty tired by the end of the week. And then occasionally I use a full week as a catch-up week for whatever we haven't been able to get to. That's going to happen next week. We have some loose ends to tie with our geometry and a few things that I really wanted to get to that I wasn't able to for our chemistry. So next week, we are going to be focusing on those two things, and it will be a calmer, more laid back week, but it's one that I want to make sure that we tie up those loose ends. Right now, Monday and Tuesdays are when we get the bulk of our work done. She also has an online ASL class on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock. So Monday and Tuesdays are full big days for us. Homeschooling hasn't always looked like this. It has changed over the seasons depending on the age and the development of our child and the things that are going on in our lives. When they were younger, we both spent less time on school and it was more directed. It was all together and I was with them the vast majority of the time. We did a lot of read alouds. We did a lot of work together. There was very little independent work, especially in the early elementary years, and then that slowly, gradually progresses as you go along. I would say around fifth grade, we started to dabble in some independent work, completely independent, without me sitting there beside them. And then through the middle school years, that becomes more and more until we hit the high school years where we're really only checking in for a little bit of time in the morning and a little bit of time in the afternoon. Of course, that will vary depending on your child, your family, and your needs, and your teaching style. I have a very involved teacher intensive style. I do a lot of the teaching, even in high school, especially for math and sciences. And so there's a lot more time that we spend because I am doing some of the teaching. If you're relying on outsourcing or textbooks or curricula, your time in the check-in sessions might be less. That's all for the Day in the Life video this week. Thank you so much for watching or listening all the way through. And if you have any questions, as always, you can leave the comments below, contact me via the contact form, or reply to any email. And until next time, happy homeschooling.